So you see, like sometimes when he would give us the permission to, he would open a window or a gate and say, all right, you can step out. It was a treat beyond anything. Had we been doing that all the time out in the world, it would not have been a treat. You would not appreciate it. But because of the continual self-denial, self-discipline, when once in a while Baba said, all right, you're free to do something. For instance, like when we were on the plane going in 1952 to the States, and Elizabeth had, she was our hostess, and she had us over in first class in the plane. It was the biggest plane at that time imaginable. It seated 50 people. It was TWA, you know. And we were free in the plane. In the plane we were free to eat what we liked or whatever was served. No restriction. Now that was wonderful. That meant, and I love to taste and to, we all do, I think Mary does too, of every country, you know, not just we want Indian food wherever we go, certainly not, but Japanese, French, English, American, all of it. So it was grand. You just sat there, you had magazines or something, and every now and then the stewardess came and placed a tray, a pillow and a little tray on top of it. And it's the first time I've seen poached eggs that moved, the yolks moved like Eddie Cantor's eyes. every now and then I shook the tray and surely the eyes would come around. Then I do it this way. So it was a toy plus eating as well. But that wasn't all. I couldn't believe it. At one time they there was a little bottle in it. Now, I mean, there was no drinking with Baba, except I remember two occasions in our life with Baba, when Baba served us some wine. I think it was a tablespoonful each, probably. It was symbolic or whatever it was. But I like it. You know, as a child, I've had it at home, for instance, whenever I washed my hair, which was once a month. We don't wash our hair so soon. You're supposed to lose hair more. Anyway, I had longish hair, and I was a school girl. So because I was prone to cold so much, they'd give me what was akin to brandy, which is left. And I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I had to give it up for Baba, sure, but I liked it. I still do. So there we were on the plane in these little bottles. And I couldn't believe it. It said on it, champagne. And I've always read about champagne and in France, how they drank champagne out of women's slippers. Oh. Every celebration, you know, any there's a son born in the family, champagne, a wedding, champagne, and here I was, who'd never tasted champagne, having champagne. But I was a little bit disappointed. It wasn't, maybe it needed those slippers, I don't know. But it wasn't as good as I thought. So then, later, when the stewardess came and asked, because she served drinks, and she said, what would you like? And I heard Ronald say beer, and I said, no, that bitter thing, anyway, I've had it once, no. So, and then he turned to me, and I was dying to taste something that I hadn't tasted before, but then I remembered that in the detective books I used to read to Baba, there was always a very nonchalant detective drinking martini, you know. So I said, that's the thing. Give myself martini. So I looked up as if I'm an old hand at it. I said, martini. I imagined Greta Garbo myself. So when she got it, I didn't know what was coming. I loved the glass it came in. A beautiful big crystal sort of thing, a see-through glass bowl like that, with a thin, long stem that was like a crane we had in standing on one leg, and about it, and this beautiful colored thing. And then I took it, and then I gave myself away. I said, what looked like a little green beetle in the middle? I said, what's that? Oh, she said, that's an olive. I said, of course. I said, that's a pity, because the olive took away some of the liquid, you know. It took away the space from it. I loved it. I loved it. So anyway, now I'll always be able to say, oh, martini is, of course. And then I found that I was at the by the window of the plane, and next to me was Meru. Now, I didn't know people were being airsick because I wasn't airsick nor seasick when we went to Cannes with Baba in 1937. So I saw that Kitty was more apt to get up and go over to that side where the bathroom was. It was a very small plane compared to now, you understand, but it was big and luxurious and sufficient, believe me. So then I found that Meru kept saying no to whatever the stewardess offered. She said, no, thank you, no, thank you. And I realized she was feeling a bit queasy. And so there she sat slumped next to me, and these trays would pass right under her nose onto me, you know? And she'd look disgusted, you see, and poor thing. And I suddenly caught on. I said, Meru, don't say no. You know, just say I said, Elizabeth has paid for all this. Don't you understand? This is not free, but paid for it. So you just don't say no, because I might like particular things I take from you. No, she couldn't catch on to that. She was too miserable. So this went in. But I said, but at least that bottle. Pass the bottle on to me. I said, in a hoarse whisper, I said, we pay for it. So that's a good time. Coming back was no picnic at all, believe me. That was after the accident, and the whole thing was different. But going was fantastic. It was something so new. Not only was it the first time we sat in a plane, it was the first time for so many things. It was so many things were first for us, you see.